You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Green Bay Get Right game. The Aaron's feast on the Lions is all finally well in Cheese Land. Man, the clock continues to tick in Dallas as the coach tries to explain the inexplicable. You'll hear the latest from Big D. Man, it just gets more and more confusing in Chicago. We'll help you make some sense out of what the coach there said now. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday. Day from the Seaport, delighted you are there. Full house is here. Graziano is ready to go. Neek is here. Jeff Saturday is bringing pancakes. And the big swagoo Marcus Spears is ready to go as well. You're going to provide security for some quarterbacks out there. And speaking of quarterbacks, we begin with the show last night in Titletown. Lambeau Field, Aaron Rodgers, and the reeling Packers off a week one disaster taking on the Lions. And the Lions came to play last night, middle of the second quarter, 7-7 game. Jared Goff looking for T.J. Hockenson, Neek, in the corner.
Man, there's some confusion in the secondary, but that is a dime. It's a hell of a ball right there from Jared Goff.
Hockenson had 8 catches on the night. Lions up 14-7, but back come the Packers. Down in the scoring area at the 14-yard line, it's Aaron to Aaron. Jones takes it down to the goal line and stops short right there. So they go to the 2-minute warning. They come right out. And why not go Aaron to Aaron again for their second touchdown of the night?
Roll pass never fails on the goal line. Nice job, Aaron to Aaron. Once again. Do that dance.
They're celebrating. Lions would add a field goal, though. Detroit up 3 at the half. Now, you're about to see 2 unreal throws from Aaron Rodgers. Here's the first.
That's not fair. The DB is doing all he can do. You just got to go and shake his hand after that one and line up and try to stop him again. But the problem is...
Well, this might even be better. This throw to Tunyon for the touchdown here might be better. How about that dime?
Wait till you see the other angle. Aaron can't even see who he's throwing to. Look at that. He's Oh, my gosh. The safety didn't stand a chance.
There's not too many quarterbacks in history. Look, he knows it. Packers up 21-17. Next Lion drive. 4th and 1. They're going for it, and they don't pick it up.
I like the idea to go for it, but the DB stood up. I love to see that from a young guy like Stokes.
And that turns the opportunity over. And I look at this play. Rodgers off balance. Devontae Adams off balance. You need to see both ends of this again.
That's just 2 all pros. That's called having faith and confidence in your playmaker. Put it in the middle of the field and let him work.
Rodgers would throw for 255 and 4 touchdowns, including this one here for Aaron Jones. This is his 3rd of the game, and the Packers are starting to pull away. And then it gets ugly on a rainy night. Next play, Jeff Saturday, we got a wet ball. We got a fumbled snap.
Yeah,
got
to do wet ball drills. And this is no joke. We practice this with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. You've got to do it. Dump the ball in a 5-gallon bucket. That ball hits the quarterback's hand, splits right through.
Come on,
awful
feet Jeff.
By Jared Goff, man.
Keep the balls dry, Jeff.
Or something like that. Early 4th quarter, there's Aaron Jones again taking it in for his record-tying 4th touchdown of the game, as many as anyone ever had on a Monday night. Rodgers and the Packers get right. They pull away and win.
I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week. I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
What?
Well, isn't that interesting? Marcus looks nonplussed. Go ahead, Marcus. What'd you think of that?
Y'all beat the Lions, bro. Like, what are you talking about? That's the elephant in the room. You bounce back. Everybody expected you to play well, Aaron Rodgers, but y'all beat the Lions. And I watched the Lions beat themselves a lot. Like, on that 4th and 1, Neek. That's a great play by the corner. But why in the hell wouldn't you be throwing the ball to Hockenson, who been killing people all night long? Why wouldn't you do that? So, look, I get it. We all talked about Aaron Rodgers and bounce back games and bad performances. But you lost 38-3 to the Saints. It wasn't an overreaction. You got your face kicked in. And we reacted to that. So now you beat the Detroit Lions, which everybody picked you to do. Everybody thought Green Bay would win this game. And based on what they did from an offensive standpoint, that's what we expected. That defense, I still got a lot of questions.
Who are the trolls that he's talking about? All I heard last week was people like me in these little stupid boxes spelling relax. Yeah. Like, everybody was on Aaron Rodgers' side. So I'm happy for him. It's fun to come out there and stick your chest out after you do something good. But, I mean, why are you coming down on us?
You know, the interesting part of that is that there was a time when it was very fashionable for star athletes to say, I don't pay any attention to what the critics say. Now we've gone 180 degrees away from that, right? Rodgers is obviously paying attention to what people are saying.
Absolutely. And listen, from a guy who has played with a chip on his shoulder for 17 years because he dropped in the draft, like, you know he's going to find motivation. If he has to find it in a troll or whatever else he expects to find it in, this is the Aaron Rodgers the Packers need. Because to their point, the defense still didn't play great. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to carry him and keep him, and he's playing angry.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, why don't they ever get upset at the Saints? Like that's right? Like, nothing anybody said on TV or anything makes any difference. Right, so but you guys, you players, right? You gotta find
we're
some way.
Channel. We're channel and find, Dan. That's what we do.
But it does bring up the question, which is we expected Aaron Rodgers to get right, and he did, and Aaron Jones has a record-setting night, and good for him. But Marcus, let's expand on that point. This is a Super Bowl aspirant team. Do they have a Super Bowl looking defense to you?
No, they do not. And it's a part of, look, Jared Goff and that offense from the Detroit Lions helped the Green Bay Packers last night. Like, everybody watched the damn game. But ultimately, when you look at this, the benefit of the doubt we've always given Green Bay is the fact that Aaron Rodgers and this offense would play at an elite level and overcome some of the things that that defense would give up. Now, here's what I will say. Last year in the NFC Championship, the Packers created 3 turnovers from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they did not get that game won and advance to the Super Bowl. So listen, it is, like Aaron said, which makes so much sense, this league is week to week. Bill Parcells used to tell us every week when he was coaching us in Dallas, you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse in a matter of 7 days. That's just the reality of this league. But the reality of what we watched the last 2 weeks with the Green Bay Packers defense is that they have a lot of holes and a lot of problems when it comes to stopping people. Fortunately, they played the Lions, okay? And that was a part of what they were trying to do. The 4th-and-1, I couldn't believe that they ran that route and tried to throw that long ball to the outside when you had a tight end. There were a lot of these situations where playing the Detroit Lions was going to get you right. But the Green Bay Packers defense got a lot of work to do, and they better get it fixed fast because this schedule ain't
easy. The Packers defense has underachieved, frankly, for the past 3 years. Sometimes they have a season where they get lucky to get a bunch of turnovers, but considering the amount of talent that they have on that team, I've expected them to be better every year. They showed up in some certain downs last year, but they still have blown coverages. Like the first 2 touchdowns were mistakes in coverage. Those guys weren't supposed to be that open. You guys are showing my man Kevin King. He's been struggling since last year's championship game. He made some plays last night, but the guy's struggling. Stokes, the rookie corner, stepped up, but he was responsible for some of the coverage failures earlier in the game. That big play on 4th down was big. Like, it makes sense to me. I disagree slightly with you, Marcus. They see single high. You know you have man-to-man coverage on the backside with a rookie cornerback. You're going to go attack it. You don't expect him to make a play. He makes a play.
These are the trolls. I see why Aaron's all hyped up. These are the trolls right here. I mean, you know, they come back and have a win. The 2 NFC Championship games, we're talking about they didn't play up to expectations. They had a shot. They didn't get it done last year. It's week 2. New defensive coordinators, injuries on the defensive side up front. They'll be just fine. That's the trolls. I see it now, Aaron. I'm with you. I'm riding with you. I'm going to get a little beanie and see the same thing.
In the meantime,
when you go ride with him, you're going to be by your damn self in about 2 weeks. You go ahead and ride with him Jeff Saturday.
Jeff is feeling good about himself because his buddy Peyton mentioned him last night.
Oh, yeah.
We showed you this in the highlight here, but let's take another look. It was in the 3rd quarter last night. This is the play that really turns the whole game around. Jared Goff fumbling a snap in the rain. The Packers recover, and they never look back. On the Peyton and Eli special last night, Peyton had this to say about his longtime center, Jeff Saturday.
The wet ball drill, my guess is they didn't do it this week in Detroit where the equipment guy sprays the water bottle on the football. I used to do it with Jeff Saturday twice a week, even when we were playing in the dome. I mean, I played in the Super Bowl in the rain. Jeff Saturday and I had no exchange problems. The Bears had, I think, 3 fumbled snaps. It's something you got to work on, believe it or not. The wet ball snap drill is actually a real drill.
Yeah, shocking. Peyton was prepared. Listen, this is not what a center wants to do. The wet ball drill is not fun for centers. Much more fun for quarterbacks than centers. But we honestly did practice that all the time and understood how important it was, because you never know in what game you're going to play how it's going to affect you. But truth be told, that is, it is a great thing for to do and
Can
practice.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Did he say you would practice that even when you were playing in a dome?
That was a little bit of sarcasm. Okay. A little bit of sarcasm, yeah.
What, in case there was a leak?
You never know.
You could be sweating.
It could be a sweaty ball. It could be a sweaty ball.
We've heard the legendary stories about Peyton Manning, but that would be next level. Yeah. If you're doing the wet ball drill for a game being played in a dome, then we really are taking this thing to another level.
Something.
All right. Yeah. That's where week two comes to an end last night. The Packers getting better. In the meantime, what time is it? Mike McCarthy tries again to explain the clock issues from L.A. Is anyone buying what the coach is selling? And then speaking of getting clocked, Big Ben taking hit after hit. Our group has big concerns about whether he can make it through the season. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up. It is time for Dan Graziano and Overreaction Tuesday. So I'll make some statements. You tell me if they are overreactions. The first, Tom Brady is about to have his best season ever.
It's not an overreaction. By the way, are we allowed to do this, or is Aaron Rodgers going to be upset for overreacting too much? Look, it's not an overreaction. He is set up. 9 touchdown passes through his first 2 games. That puts him on pace for 77 touchdowns. I looked it up. That would be a record. I doubt he holds that pace, but the group around him is such that he is set up for success at an entirely different level.
All right, let's try the next one. John Gruden and the Raiders have finally figured things out. Is that an overreaction?
I think for now it is an overreaction. They've played extremely well. We like everything we've seen from them. The problem is, since Gruden got back there in the current Gruden tenure, they have not finished seasons well. They're 5-10 in December and January games under Gruden this second time around. So we've got to see it hold up over the course of a season. So far, so good, but it's an overreaction to say they've solved their problem, because one of their problems is finishing season.
All right, let's do one more. If I said the Cowboys are the NFC East favorites again, what would that be?
That's not an overreaction. Look, if you liked the Cowboys coming into the season, they haven't given you any reason not to like them. They've looked good in both games. They've got solid offensive game plans in both games. Obviously, they lost a tough one to the Buccaneers in week one, but you probably didn't have them winning that one. Anyway, I'm going to pick a different team in the NFC East every single week this year. I think that's the right way to approach this division. I think the Cowboys are as good a bet as any.
Well, let's talk about them a little more off that nice road win in L.A. on Sunday. But it did not come without controversy. You know what happened at the very end. With a timeout in his pocket, Mike McCarthy opting to bleed the clock down to 4 seconds and settle for a 56-yard field goal to win it. Here's McCarthy yesterday trying to further explain the inexplicable.
The crew in the box, we were anticipating them calling a timeout there. But then one of our guys went outside the numbers. And so at that point, we, you know, we got to this 17-second threshold, and that's when the I've just never seen that happen. The clock that I was looking at went out, and then Kellen was blocked by the clock he said he was looking at. Next thing you know, there's 9 seconds left. So, but we got it done.
Do you follow the clock on the overhead board, or does it change?
Not anymore.
What? I mean, only thing that was missing from that is what had happened was,
right.
Like, you could feel the lie just spilling out. And if I was a player, like, first you want accountability. Just stand up and say, my bad, guys. Won't happen again. Because we make mistakes, and that's what you expect from us. So, like, those poor guys had Jason Garrett. Now they got this fiasco. I hope they get a coach in there that is properly prepared for every situation.
I mean, there's clocks all over the place. There's no way a camera guy blocked off a coach. Those benches are so you see the lines drawn. If a camera guy wanders over one of those yellow lines, they're going to tackle him. I'm just not buying it from Mike McCarthy. And my other question is, like, he's not calling the offense. He's not calling the defense. If he's not watching the clock, it's like remember Office Space, like, what – would you say you do here exactly? I mean, like, I don't get it.
I've been waiting for 48 hours to ask Marcus Spears, my beloved former Cowboy, his perspective on the way the clock management was handled at the end of the game on Sunday.
Liars lie, G, and that's what Mike McCarthy is doing right now with this camera situation. Listen, these dudes were in a $2 billion, $3 billion stadium. It's another damn clock in the stadium. $5 billion stadium. It's another damn clock in the stadium. I'm looking at the game. I'm thinking to myself, is Mike McCarthy trying to go to overtime? What the hell is he doing? Does he want to see the team play some more? I could not for the life of me understand what was happening in this moment. I really thought, fellas, like, I really thought it was a clock malfunction. I was like, did the clock just skip like 10 seconds? Like, did something happen in the stadium where the clock just malfunctioned? No, the clock didn't malfunction. Mike McCarthy brain glitched. It just glitched in the most important time of the damn game. He just lost his coaching status in that moment. Here's what I will say, though. As mad as I was about that, Mike McCarthy has this team looking good, and I don't know if this clock situation is going to overtake the fact that the Dallas Cowboys look 100 times better than they looked last year. And I know it was a lot of extenuating circumstances, but the bottom line is your clock management better not cost my damn team a game at some point during the year. Yeah. So hopefully this is the mess up that transpired, and it's the end of it. We need clocks on our wrists. We need clocks around our neck. We need clocks everywhere when the Dallas Cowboys play, because obviously nobody on that coaching staff clock was working.
That's fair. That said, Marcus, let's get to your second and perhaps in the big picture much more important point. I'm just going to say two words, and you give me your reaction. Micah Parsons.
Ooh, top 10 defensive player in the league right now as a rookie. And the fact that he was able to go out and play defensive end and have more pressures in this game than Bosa against an offensive line that we lauded with the LA Chargers on how they did last week, this dude is unreal. Now, I heard talk about moving him to defensive end. You better not damn do it. You better leave him in the middle of this defense with the range, with the speed. Did y'all see that man close on Justin Herbert? Now, that was a bad call by the refs. But did y'all see the athleticism? And you – listen – people have no idea how hard it is to go from stand-up linebacker to defensive end in the NFL and be effective. And he figured out a way to do it. Top 10 defensive player in the league right now.
There's some guys in this league that are just physically better than everybody else, and you can move them around. You see that with Lamar Jackson. You see that with Jalen Ramsey, where they move him to the inside to get him to be able to make plays. Micah Parsons had 7 pass rush wins. Von Miller had 8. Chase Young has 7. Those are the only people in his neighborhood, and he hadn't played that before. This is only his second game in the league, so I'm excited about what this defense can be going forward.
They played him a little bit at the edge rusher in camp just to see if he could do it, but now they had to because DeMarcus Lawrence went out. So in a pinch, he picks it up in a week.
That's
tough. And has a Joey Bosa, level game. That's incredible.
The reality of the situation is that with Dan Quinn in there as the coordinator, the big question was the defense. We all knew they would be a good offensive team. They have looked, albeit they gave up 4 touchdown passes to Brady week 1, but everybody's going
That
defense is better, right?
No, Foxy and Grimes, don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Let him stay with his damn damn Washington football team. I don't want to hear you say nothing good about the Cowboys, Greeny. I don't want to hear anything about we didn't expect nothing. I told you 1,000 times before the season started, and you didn't want to listen. You stay with the Washington football team, okay? By the way, Taylor Heineke balled out. But other than that, you stay with your pick.
I love it. Listen, Marcus, we will see. It is a long season. There's a long way to go. But through 2 weeks so far, your end of this looks a lot better than mine. All right, hang on, everybody, because it's breakfast time, and Jeff Saturday's got the pancakes.
Sat him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
It is a Tuesday staple on this program. Jeff Saturday handing out pancakes for all those big hits the offensive line puts on people. Jeff, take it away.
Oh, we are about to have some fun. Yo, we got some people who got their faces smacked around. You remember what that used to feel like? And took one. You know who's going to start our show? Trey Smith. Kansas City. Look, wait. Oh, get some of that action. Ooh. And my favorite part is once he hit the ground, watch Smith finish him. Seize him on the ground. No, no.
Unnecessary.
See it? Go get it. Go finish that man. I hate the play, but look at the top. Trey Smith. One pancake because of the loss of yardage. But look at you do your job, young fella. That's a rookie. He's only getting better. I can't wait to see him as the season progresses. Nasty start to it. One pancake. Two pancakes. Q Nelson. Good heavens. Rib platter placed up. Wipe them clean. Sees this boy getting bull rushed. Nah, little man. Get some of that action. Get some of that shoulder right there. Set him up and clean him down. I love it. Two pancakes from my man Q Nelson. That is as nasty as it gets. Let me tell you something. You know what that D lineman wants to do? He give you that little hat that you see DBs and receivers. That's what he wants to give after that shot right there. Two pancakes, three pancakes. Andrew Robb. Look at this right here. This is about to look at. Oh,
don't leave his feet.
He's like this, and he's still going to gore him. He's not scared. Look, he wants to get something. Don't come inside. Hey, you know what, Swagoo? Let him know how this looks out. Big men stay inside, little men stay outside. Three pancakes. When you come in there and get with the big boys, that's the action you're going to catch. Chin music, and then finish him. Get him while he's down on the ground. I love it. Oh, that's what I did. That's what I did to you. I love it. I love it. Three pancakes. Swagoo. Let him know, Swagoo.
Hey, young fella, don't ever leave your damn feet in the middle of all of that chaos, man. Somebody ain't coaching right over there, man. Stay on your feet, big dog.
Were you ever the little guy who ran in there in the middle of everything?
No, Greeny, one thing about me is I don't make bad decisions. I go in there and I see it's a guy. We're going to go back and help him cut. Get back there and zone it up. I'm going to get in the passing lane.
Business decisions made by me. He understands. Hey, Swagoo, Swagoo didn't want to come inside of that noise either. Swagoo,
if they
knows,
not looking, though, I'll line them up if they not looking.
That's a DB.
Get him,
that's a DB right
get
there.
Get him, Nick. Jeff looked like a damn running back now anyway.
Yeah, he ain't looking like looking nobody.
He got a 33-inch waist now.
He's lost a lot of weight because he's not been eating the pancakes, but he's been handing them out. Outstanding. Marcus will get his chance to rebut a little later in the program. In the meantime, coming up, it just gets more and more confusing in Chicago. We'll help you make some sense out of what the coach said yesterday, if we can. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, and we are back on Get Up. And in case you missed it last night, Aaron Rodgers looking for a get-back game at home against the Detroit Lions. And it was mostly the Aaron Jones show last night, picking up in the first quarter. That's Aaron to Aaron. who takes it in for the touchdown. That would tie it at 7, but Jones was just getting started. Second quarter, Packers down 14-7, second and goal. Aaron to Aaron, that's another touchdown. Jones, week one, had 7 touches. Last night, he had 13 in the first half alone. Third quarter, Packers are down 3. Look at the dime from Rodgers to Robert Tonyan for a touchdown. Packers take a lead they would never relinquish. Then it's Rodgers now, 14 seconds left in the third quarter. That's Jones again taking it in for the score. He's fired up. Rodgers would throw 4 touchdowns on the day, and Jones would score 4 for himself, finishing with 115 total yards and the 4 TDs, and the Packers get the win that they needed, 35-17. And that brings us to Good Calls, brought to you by Subway. And it was a good call indeed for Green Bay to find their top skill players last night in Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. The two combined for under 80 yards from scrimmage in the loss week one, nearly tripled that last night. Both went over 100. And again, Jones, the 4 touchdowns, tied for the Lambeau Field record for most in a single game. Meanwhile, in that division, Chicago, Justin Fields replacing Andy Dalton late in the second quarter Sunday after Dalton suffered a non-contact injury to his left knee. Yesterday, Coach Matt Nagy once again asked to clarify his position on the team's quarterback situation and instead made it even less clear.
We'll have to be prepared when we find out exactly what's going on with Andy understand, okay, is he able to go? And for us, you got a guy that's been in the league playing quarterback for a long time, and you got a guy that's never had an NFL start. So we'll have to work through that, which we will.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad.
Actually, no, it's not at all. And then, so he said that, and then he left. And then a few minutes later, our Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears for us, reported that a Bears media relations person delivered a message from Nagy. Again, this is after the press conference, to clarify that Andy Dalton is the starter if he is healthy. So what the actual heck is going on here? Let me bring Dan Graziano in here as a veteran of many of these press conferences. Right. How do you explain this?
Yeah, I don't break down game film, but I've been to some press conferences. What happens is, look, Nagy comes out and he's asked this question and he answers it. And he has a little fun with Brad Biggs, the reporter, but obviously, you know, he doesn't want to tell him anything. So what happens is he leaves the press conference and the PR guy, it's his job to say, hey, Matt, this is what you said. Here's how it's being presented. Here's what they're tweeting about. Here's what they're going to talk about on the shows. And Nagy goes, well, that's not what I meant. Get back in there and tell them what I really meant. So that's what happened there yesterday.
So one way or another, the sum total of it, Marcus, seems to be that he is going back to Andy Dalton as the starter if he is healthy, when it felt like the football gods, and again, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but the football gods had given him the ideal opportunity to make a switch to Justin Fields without any hurt feelings or anything like that. What is your reaction, Swagoo?
Well, first of all, I'm glad Graz explained that, because I was like, who from upper management told him, hey, go clear this up.
I'm here for you.
Go make sure this is cleared up. But Graz is our guy. He clears things up. Here's the deal with what Matt Nagy is doing. And I'm so tired of having a visceral reaction to this, because he obviously wants Andy Dalton to be the guy to start. And I don't know if – only thing I keep coming back to, fellas, is something that Justin Fields is doing is telling Matt Nagy he's not ready. Is it something that he or Matt Nagy doesn't understand about Justin Fields' skill set that's telling him he's not ready to play? Because we all watching this. We are all watching Justin Fields play. And yeah, I know he threw interceptions, but when you are preparing for a week, you are not preparing for that particular quarterback, calling plays for that particular quarterback. That was a tough situation for Justin Fields to come in and do. And even in that, we saw the juice and energy from this offense. So I don't know what promises were made. I don't know what type of relationship Matt Nagy has with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, literally, we don't know if he's healthy, and the man won't even name Justin Fields the starter for this week, or at least say we're preparing Justin to get ready to start the game. I have no idea, outside of the fact that Justin Fields should be playing for the Chicago Bears. I ain't getting off that, but it's something or some kind of relationship they form to keep Andy Dalton in there as the starter.
Yeah, this is insanity. Like, I mean, when you think about
you people say, well, we'll start him in the sixth game or the fourth game or whatever game when everybody gives their genius ideas of when you should start a rookie quarterback. He's not getting better watching. Like what you saw when he walked in the game after Andy Dalton got hurt, that's what you'll see again because he's not preparing. He's not taking all 54 snaps of offensive play calling during the week. He's not taking all those things to red zone. He's not taking short yardage goal line, right? So you throw him in a game and expect him to do these things, and you're not going to get a different result. Like, he has to be the guy that's getting the practice reps. That was my whole point. Yes. Like, everybody acts like you should bubble wrap, you know, Justin Fields. Well, you're not doing that to Trevor Lawrence. You're not doing it to Zach Wilson. You're not, you know. So as you're having these conversations, I don't understand the process of what you're saying to Justin Fields by going, yeah, we've taken 80% Andy Dalton over 100% you. By the way, we drafted you move up because we thought you would be better for our offense. At some point, you got to let him be your guy and understand the situation is right. You know, let it happen.
Beyond the mechanics of the press conference, I mean, what are people saying about this? Every former player I know is perplexed by this.
So inside the building, what they're saying is they have a plan for Justin Fields. Oh, they have since they drafted him. Matt Nagy wants to see something he hasn't seen or wants to get to some sort of milepost that he hasn't got to yet before he decides that Justin Fields is ready. And that's what it is.
So, Marcus, did we just lose Marcus? Are you all right?
Dude, I just like this situation has made me feel helpless. I've never felt helpless on TV before, but I feel helpless, man.
Painful,
like
man.
Nothing about what I know about football is in correlation with this particular situation.
Yep.
Like nothing, literally nothing. And maybe it is the former player and me and Jeff and all of the guys that's talking about this situation because we are more about what we see. When I saw Tony Romo practicing and killing our number one defense in Dallas in scout team and in practice, we was like, he better than Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And then Parcells played him because he was better. Like, I don't understand it, man. I can't.
Romo was an undrafted kid coming out of college. Drew Bledsoe was the number one pick in the draft. Bill Parcells made that decision. This is the reverse situation, and they just are unwilling to do it. In the meantime, an entirely different quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, where the offensive line for the Steelers is a significant problem trying to protect the 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. This year, Big Ben has taken 15 hits inside the pocket through two games. That's the fourth most of any quarterback this year, and they're forcing Roethlisberger to change his entire approach. He's currently, his average time of 2.3 seconds before throwing the ball is the quickest among all quarterbacks since last year. Sunday was the epitome of it all. Big Ben hit 10 times by the Raiders' pass rush, in which they did not attempt a single blitz. Ryan Clark, yesterday, here on Get Up.
Ben Roethlisberger is in a position where he's going to stand in the pocket because he understands that he needs to win now. But that may be to his detriment because he won't make it 17 games this week.
As he was saying that, Jeff, you were nodding along. 100%. You agree with that.
100%. Listen, man, you can't have the shortest time of the ball coming out of your hands and still get hit 15 times, fourth most in the league. Like, that doesn't compute. And when you look at their rushing attack, they were last in the league last season. They're last in the league through two weeks of this season. Like, there's not a lot of good signs, you know, trending towards Roethlisberger making it through the season. I mean, he is taking shots. And listen, Crosby flat out got after him, and I get he's a good pass rusher and all those things. You can't do any more than the Steelers are doing to protect Big Ben. He can't protect himself when everybody's just, you know, getting through the offense. I mean, getting through the offensive line the way they are. I'm telling you, man, it's a scary situation because as good as their defense is, their offense is dragging and lagging so much that you have concern that his health will be there, but definitely not long term.
I feel like I want to ask you this question because you are the offensive lineman in this group, but every other element of that offense, the wide receivers, the running back that they drafted, the tight end, the quarterback, even if he's not what he once was, he knows what he's doing out there. Can the offensive line get better as the season goes on? Because everything else they have is at minimum playoff. Why are you shaking your head at me?
You're right to be critical of the offensive line, but I'm going to stand up for my hogs up front like Jeff won't.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger is bad no matter what the circumstances.
Is that right?
He has a QBR of 38 when in the pocket and not pressured. So go ahead, protect him. It's still going to be poop. Like, I don't know what you want to say.
But this is a Ben thing as much as it is a line thing.
No, I think it's both. I feel sorry for the playmakers that they have on the edge because they have some real legitimate receivers, and Najee Harris seems like a special player. That defense is awesome, but that line's not good. But neither is Ben.
But here's your concern, and I agree with you. Ben is not playing well, and he understands that as well. But here's the problem. Quarterbacks by nature, once they start getting hit, you know, you used to say this all the time about Peyton, about Tom Brady, about Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is make a move off their spot. If their eyes drop down because of pressure, all of a sudden they are ineffective at quarterbacks. That's what's happening. Huh. Is you kind of you heard people say, you know, they're seeing ghosts. Didn't Sam Darnold say
yes,
that?
Yes, he did.
Because that's real for quarterbacks.
I'm with you.
And when you see him, that's going to bring all your play down. So you can't just lay it at him.
Yeah,
you got to protect him first. Then let me see what Ben really is.
I'm with you, but Ben Roethlisberger isn't those guys. That's how Ben's always played.
Yeah,
he's never been uncomfortable with pressure. He kind of succeeded in that situation.
He's dang near 40, bro. It takes like it changes. Like that health and wanting to be healthy changes as you get older.
Let me get Marcus in on this. Marcus, what do you see when you watch the Steeler offense struggling? Where do you lay the blame?
Yeah, this offensive line is bad, but Ben can't move, y'all. Like, that's really what it is. Like, he doesn't have that suddenness in his sidestep like Brady has at 44 and all of these guys. It's not about Big Ben taking off and making plays outside of the pocket, but Ben can't avoid contact anymore. Even when he gets rid of the ball, it doesn't seem like he can protect himself enough. And granted, I understand the offensive line issues. Don't get me wrong. But it is compounded by a quarterback that can't move when he can't get the ball out of his hands. He's going to take a hit, whether it's a sack or it's pressure if guys are around him. And Big Ben used to be a guy that could sidestep and move around. He just can't move anymore.
Now, the shame of it is they clearly have an elite defense, and right now it looks like they may be in some trouble. You're looking for baseball tonight. ESPN is the place to get it. Our postseason impact matchup, Jays, Rays. Coverage begins 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, Lamar Jackson carried the Ravens to a win on Sunday. Dominic Foxworth was there. He has big concerns about Baltimore. You'll hear exactly what they are coming up next. Plus, you have to see this. We will show you the best moments from the Manning brothers last night, including Peyton's concern that his locker room was once bugged. Don't miss it. It's next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is time for Answer the Question. Dominic Foxworth must stand in here as I pose a series of provocative, hard-hitting questions, and whether he wants to or not, he has to answer them. And here's the first one. This came up yesterday on the program, and I like it. If you could start a franchise right now with any player in the NFL, excluding Patrick Mahomes, who would that player be?
It's a tough one. I had it narrowed down to about 3 quarterbacks.
Justin Herbert.
Is good.
Josh Allen.
Awesome.
Kyler Murray.
Impressive. But, I mean, I got to be faithful to Cousin Tad. I don't want Cousin Tad tweeting the show, so I got to go with Dak Prescott. He is an impressive player, and sometimes people talk about him as if he's not clutch. If you remember back to his first playoff game, that's when I became a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
He outplayed Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter of that game until Aaron Rodgers made that miraculous catch. We'd be looking back on that game as kind of when Dak became an elite quarterback in his rookie year, and since then, he's only gotten better time after time and kind of answered the question. So I think he's someone who you can trust. He's someone who's normally quite healthy, and I don't want to catch that heat from Tad.
I hear you. I don't know if I agree with the pick, but I like the consistency of it, and I like the thinking. All right, the next one. Through 2 weeks of this season, which team have you been more wrong about than any other in the league?
Washington. I live in D.C. I remember last year, towards the end of the season, we started projecting next year, and I was like, this could be a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Because I saw Chase Young, and I remembered how Von Miller was the draft pick that kind of propelled the Broncos to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was no longer good, and the point I was making was you don't have to get a first-round quarterback in order to propel your team. You need to get a superstar somewhere at rookie prices, and that can propel your team. And I thought this defense was going to be outstanding, but it seems like so far, this defense might be a little bit of fool's gold. They beat up on some bad quarterbacks last year with that great defensive line, and we haven't really seen them show up and take over the way I thought they would.
A2, Dominique, A2. I got Marcus on one side. I got you on the other side. We'll see. It's a long season. All right, last one. Which one player in the NFL is the most important to his team?
That's the easiest one. I thought these supposed to be hard questions. It's Lamar Jackson. Like, it's so easy. You look at that game last week, and it's not just that game, but that game was a perfect distillation of how important he is to his team. Offensive line, riddled with injuries, not very good. Receivers, all hurt, running wrong routes, slipping and falling. Two first quarter interceptions. Defense, doesn't have any DBs. They can't even play the style of defense that they want to play, and they can't seem to get a stop. Somehow, I tend to lean away from these kind of platitudes about guys just wanting it more or just making it happen. But I've run out of ways to explain how special this player is. And to be in that stadium, which I was during that game, to feel what he means to not only that team, but to that city, I can't think of anybody else that's more important to their team, in their city, in their organization than Lamar Jackson.
Well,
I
want to bring Jeff and Dan in on this. And as I do so, let me show everybody. Dominique was there, and you brought your son his first ever game. Cindy, let's just roll that real quick. That's a beautiful film.
Cool.
Look at that. What's his name?
Declan. I'm pretty proud of him. He had a good time at the game, but my wife just texted me and said that he was faking a sore throat so he didn't have to go to school today. So maybe he's home to see this. I guess it worked out just fine.
We'll see. One way or another. So he was there to see Lamar Jackson, who I trust is his favorite player based on his
absolutely.
Shirt there, making the big play at the end. So you covered that game.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you were telling us in our meeting this morning was how much his teammates believe in him and look up to him.
That's the thing, being there. You talk about that non-analytical kind of ephemeral stuff. That I don't know how you could have been there on Sunday and not gotten that vibe. And again, even post-game, in the news conferences, talking to players before and after the game, they're absolutely in love with this young player, and they believe in him to an extent that is, you know, I think a lot of players, a lot of quarterbacks around the league spend their whole careers trying to reach. And he is, I think that was the key component of Sunday night, was this was a major psychological and emotional hurdle for this team that it was able to clear under incredibly adverse circumstances. I would say it galvanized them and brought them together, but I think they were already there.
What do you think, Jeff? What do you see?
Listen, this guy is just next level. When you think about Lamar Jackson, he doesn't have an agent, doesn't have a deal, doesn't complain about it, goes out and plays, right? Like, you think about all the guys and why they want to play. He's probably the most authentic football player we have in the game right now, right? At every press conference, he showers praise on his teammates, and he takes criticism for himself. He don't play Patrick Mahomes. He don't feel at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes all of it, man, doesn't ever say, hey, pass the blame, doing it. Man, like, what this guy does, you talk about how teams are forged. This is what true leadership looks like, and everybody on that football team believes he's the best player on the field every Sunday.
Right. Quick final thought.
And he calls Lisa Salters Miss Lisa, which is, how can you not love that?
Being raised right.
Being raised right. Thanks, Miss Lisa.
Absolutely. And that was when he is on Monday Night Football. This week he was on Sunday night. But on Monday nights now, you are treated on ESPN2 to the Manning brothers, Peyton and Eli. And in case you missed their show last night, they had some fun.
Maybe a little play-action shot here for a touchdown. Lions to go up early. And that's about what I know. A run up the middle for one
yard.
Yep, nice call,
Romo.
Nice call. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day. Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers like in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there.
Hey Peyton. Hey, Eli.
Oh. About that throw. It's backwards, right? He can be pointed the other way, throwing across his body. His arm is elastic. He can make all those throws. I'm jealous of Aaron Rodgers.
At that time,
Peyton had come out of the area that we had, you know, in the back there from the thing. And as soon as that curtain moved, it was like Stone Cold Steve Austin with the glass brick, you know. His big ass head, Eli, you've seen it before, I'm sure, 100 times. As soon as it hits that public area, there's a buzz, you know. Ooh, Eli, or Peyton Manning, yeah. Peyton Manning, especially in French-Lick, Indiana. I mean, these people, Jesus Christ might as well have just walked out from behind the curtain. You know what I mean? I mean, that just happened. This is a great time to go to bed. It's a great night. It's a great day to be alive. I can't thank you guys enough. Eli Peyton, you're the best.
They had some fun last night, and it is fun watching what those guys are doing. And, Jeff, you were saying that stuff about the Patriots and the Colts, like, that stuff is real.
Oh, that is real. Listen, he truly believed that. We would move away, no phones, move to an area that nobody could hear.
To be fair, when we would play in Indianapolis, y'all would crank up the crowd noise. So y'all was cheaters, too.
Listen, that's the best when he and Brady get together. They go back and forth with which team cheated more to see who won. This is what I know. We all won a bunch of games. I don't know. I didn't cheat. I just, you know, whatever it was, I benefited.
Ravens did it honestly. A couple of honest Super Bowls in Baltimore.
Swagger, what'd you think?
Tom got 7.
So they cheated better? Is that what you just said? Swagoo says they cheated better. That's what I'm talking about, Swagoo.
Well, fine. One way or another, those guys are having a lot of fun on Monday night. And we'll make sure we bring pieces of it to you. In the meantime, Wednesday night should be good here as well. We got a baseball doubleheader for you. First off, Mets Red Sox, 7 Eastern. Then Giants Padres, Game 2 of their 3-game sets, all on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap, so you can watch from anywhere. As we continue, Aaron Rodgers gets his revenge. But are the Packers' issues really behind them? We're talking about that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.